From the UBO Business Services Studios, you're listening to KTXX-FM and HD1 BK, KTAE-AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. It's the Pluckers' countdown to Longhorn football. Texas opens the season in
16 days.
From your radio home for UT sports, the Horn.
Well, we're talking about those delays up along Research, the frontage road near Lamar, and the main lanes are slow too. You can bet on that. The other side of Research also heavy coming from 290 to Mopac, where we have a crash reported. Yes, Research at Mopac, a wreck, and it looks like it is on the northbound side. Now, we have a crash also, and this is backing you up both directions on Toll 45 between I-35 and Toll 130. This is going to be in the Round Rock area, so keep that in mind. And the hits actually just keep on coming here over at Howard at Harris Glen, a crash. Palmer east of I-35 near Dessau. We mentioned those delays a little bit earlier. 183 at Camino Real, a crash there. Also, B Caves. This is going to be at Redbud Trail, a reported wreck. So, again, lots to get through and more volume than we've seen in quite a little while here this morning. I'm Don Miller, and that's traffic.
Man, do you ever think prices will ever stop going up? Who knows? This is Scott Crossett with Apple Leasing. I do know we all need transportation. That's where Apple Leasing can help. For 35 years, I've been saying, why pay for the full price of the vehicle when you just have to pay for the parts you use? This makes more sense now than ever before. These are challenging times, but this is where Apple Leasing shines. Inventories are low and prices are all over the place. At Apple Leasing, all we do every day is look for the best price and locate any make or model vehicle. So we're able to find the best options for you. New cars might be a little more now, but wow, your current car has never been worth more than it is today. Apple Leasing makes it so easy with one phone call to 512-346-9977. We'll walk you through all your options. We specialize in helping people understand how to navigate and get out of their leases early, or even get a more efficient vehicle. Call Apple Leasing, 512-346-9977, or click appleleasing.com.
Mike Harch here. Interest rates are still going up, but there are still options out there that can help you, from my friend Sam Dude, the mortgage guru with the American Financial Network. Find him at homeloandude.com. Home values are better than ever before. Use some of that equity to pay off your credit card debt, back taxes, or even make some home improvements. Sam Dude, the mortgage guru with American Financial Network, a local mortgage lender, a family guy, and a friend. Find him at homeloandude.com, NMLS 299-345.
2022 is the year for that diamond upgrade. Time to go from a 1-carat to a 2-carat, or a 2-carat up to a 4 or 5-carat. It's true, going bigger is in. But that doesn't mean you have to overpay or compromise on quality. Diamonds Direct is your best destination for large, unique, and rare diamonds. These are exquisite, hand-picked, precious diamonds from 2 carats to 20 carats, in all shapes, independently graded by the GIA. These diamonds have all been chosen for maximum brilliance. Best part, Diamonds Direct's stunning large diamonds are sourced from the best ethical diamond cutters around the globe, purchased exclusively for our showroom, and free from any broker or middleman upcharges. This means you can go bigger with the confidence that you're getting the highest quality at the best possible price nationwide. You see, at Diamonds Direct, we're more than just another jewelry store. We're the nation's true diamond experts with unrivaled selection, uncompromising standards, and unbeatable value. Let us prove it today with your diamond upgrade. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. DiamondsDirect.com.
Another exciting season of Texas State football is almost here. Come catch the action at Bobcat Stadium by getting your season tickets or single game tickets today. Simply visit TXST.com or call 512-245-2272. The Bobcats kick off their home opener on Saturday, September 10th as Texas State hosts the FIU Panthers. We'll see you at Bobcat Stadium. Eat 'em up, Cats.
Hey, what's up, folks? This is your lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Tequila has always been my go-to spirit, and my favorite new tequila is Hot Cat Tequila. The cat stands for cinnamon and tequila, and the recipe is simple. Tequila, cinnamon, and agave nectar. So it's light and so smooth that once you try Hot Cat, you won't go back to that old cinnamon whiskey or that cheap tequila you ordered rounds of when you were trying to get the party started. Turn up your party, turn up your tailgate, turn up your watch party with Hot Cat Tequila. Hot Cat Tequila is best served cold for a quick round of shots or to sip on the rocks at the house. Visit Cat Tequila. tequila.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
It's the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. College football starts in 9 days. A reminder from your friends at Bud Light. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros now delivers and offers curbside pickup. For info on placing your lunch or dinner order, visit vaqueroscafe.com. Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Major, major, major college football news this morning. Not on the field. Still waiting on that quarterback decision from Steve Sarkisian, but he did say this week to ESPN that he's got an idea of where he's going. Would like to announce it soon, so we'll certainly be waiting for that. But, man, the major news, the Big Ten, we knew it was coming at some point here in the month of August, and it's now official. The Big Ten has finalized a blockbuster media rights partnership that is the largest in all of college sports and really a game changer. Kevin Warren is the athletic director, the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, and Zay Collier. By the way, Johnny Rogers will be back tomorrow. He had an appointment this morning, but it's in for Bucky. Bucky's out, doctor's orders. He'll be back on Monday. But Zay, remember Kevin Warren started his tenure in the Big Ten very rocky. He came in COVID, the whole controversy with the Big Ten play football or not. And Kevin Warren had a son at the time. I don't know if he's still playing, but his son was a scholarship athlete at Mississippi State playing college football. And he was on the side of, no, we're not going to play. And people looked at that and said, man, what a hypocrite this guy is. His son's playing, and it's safe enough with COVID, but not for the kids in the Big Ten and the players in the Big Ten. That became a huge problem. Now, again, commissioners work for the presidents of the schools. So he was really following the marching orders of the presidents of the Big Ten schools in his stance and standing on that. But, man, go full circle. Now this comes out in a blockbuster deal that's going to pay the Big Ten schools north of $1 billion a year annually. And the real game changer, Zay, is that he took more of an NFL mindset, where why would we just negotiate with one bidder when we can negotiate with multiple bidders? And, you know, as the NFL does with ESPN and CBS and NBC and Fox, he did the same thing. And the rights are going to be shared in the Big Ten between Fox. Fox is the biggest contributor, and they're going to own the biggest chunk of the Big Ten's football and media rights. It's all sports, by the way, basketball as well. CBS is involved. NBC and NBC's streaming service Peacock are all in on this, and it'll run from July 1st of next year, so next year, 2023, to the end of the 29-30 season. So a 7-year deal, upwards of $7 to $8 billion in total, Zay.
Yeah, the Big Ten. They got the most population when it comes to schools, it being in that Midwestern area covering all that ground. So it makes sense for them to branch out to all these different networks that aren't ESPN and try to get as much money as possible. And when you're talking in $7 billion like that, oh, man, they ain't missing ESPN at all.
Nope. And ESPN's going to – they'll be fine. They've got the SEC, and they'll pivot and maybe get involved in the Big 12 conversations, I have to think. Big picture, they're already in bed with the Big 12 as their current deal. But, I mean, that's what the Big 12 wants. So this is big, and I think the interesting points of this, When they added USC and UCLA, it really changed the game, and it's why they did it. Because when you're sitting at a negotiating table with Fox and CBS and NBC, and you can say, look, our conference in all sports, including football, we play in the number one media market in the country in New York City with our Rutgers connection in the East Coast. We're in number two at Los Angeles now. We're in number three in Chicago. Number four on the list is Houston, but number five is Philadelphia. We're going to get a strong Penn State presence and Maryland presence up and down the Eastern Seaboard. We got you covered. Four of the top five media markets is where you want to be, and that's where the investment is so high. And now, of course, with the addition of USC and UCLA, the other caveat that I think is interesting in the news breaking this morning is that there's escalators in this deal that could take it over $10 billion, which leads industry insiders to believe that this is the ability to add more teams and keep the money the same. Right, the idea of adding more teams concerns some schools, saying, "Well, what value do they bring if we're gonna?" So there's a pile of money here. If we add four new schools from the West Coast, well, now we're dividing the same amount of money up four different ways. So more mouths to feed. The escalators would indicate to me that they're prepared for that. So the networks have agreed and assured them that if you go up, we'll go up with the money. So we'll cover that cost. And This is natural, and I think what it's going to lead to is a western flank of the Big Ten that will have USC and UCLA, and then Washington, Oregon, potentially Stanford and Cal, and that will eviscerate and end the Pac-12 as we know it, which would also be a boon for the Big 12 with their new commissioner, because the Big 12 would then spin and add Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah to go with the four new schools coming in this year to get them to 16. And at that point, the Big 12 would, arguably would be the third conference, because I think they would surpass the ACC in that regard. Because again, the Atlantic Coast Conference is just that; it's landlocked on the Eastern Coast. And the Big 12, like the Big 10 in this new model, would be able to play sports in all time zones. I mean, you're playing games in the East, the Central, the Mountain, and the West. Which covers all the day parts on a Saturday college football day. You're playing the 11 o'clock window. You're playing 2:30 with a big game. You're playing 6 and 7 o'clock. And then, of course, if you're the Big 12, the addition of the desert schools and Utah and Colorado, well, now you're playing that late 9 o'clock game as well that people love. So now you're featuring your product in all four day parts, something the ACC cannot do. They only play in the Eastern time zone. And that is a big advantage when it comes time to sitting at the negotiating table with these networks. And again, Fox is going to carry the noon game, which would be 11 o'clock our time. It'll be the big noon kickoff, and then the Fox broadcast of the best Big Ten game every Saturday that they want. They get the first choice, it sounds like, as the biggest suitor. They will get the first choice of game. CBS, who is losing the SEC to ESPN, and of course we know with what's the broadcast crew they have there on CBS at 2:30 in the afternoon? God, I can see them, but Brad Nessler and the crew. Who's the quarterback? Gary Danielson, maybe. They do the big CBS game. Well, that normally has been like Alabama Auburn or Alabama A&M at 2:30 in the afternoon. That will now be a Big Ten game. That's now going to be a big Big Ten game at 2:30 on CBS. So they will keep our buddy Brian Jones and that whole team will keep their footing in college football. And then the newcomer is the night game. It's going to NBC. They've only been involved in college football as far as Notre Dame goes. Well, now they're adding the night game. And, some will say this is a forebearer of Notre Dame joining the Big Ten because of the NBC deal. The commission, the president of Notre Dame has said recently, no. This is good for us. We can stay independent, and now NBC has more skin in the game in college football. This is good for us. Now, we'll see where that goes long term, but NBC would have the primetime game, which means obviously NBC is ramping up their college football coverage, and it's all based around the Big Ten. SEC, of course, where Texas and Oklahoma are headed. That's all ESPN all the time. And you wonder, Zay, the one thing I will say to the Big 12's future is what if – what I'm saying about being able to play in all time zones and coast to coast, the SEC can't do that, even with Texas and Oklahoma. Would the SEC try to jump in and say, you know what, we are going to pluck Arizona State. We are going to jump in bed, or are they happy at 16? I think ESPN would likely stick with the SEC and stay there, but I think that's always a possibility with the money that's being thrown around, because obviously Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, I don't know that the SEC, that makes sense for the SEC, but again, the ability to be in all time zones and negotiate that deal may be appealing. At the same time, the SEC is such a behemoth that, you know, they're okay. They're okay with the 11 o'clock, the 2:30, the 6 and 7 o'clock games. And, you know, that's where the best football is being played right now. So, interesting development there. Now, this story, do you have any thoughts on that, Zay, that the, with the NBC getting in and CBS staying in? I think this is good for the Big 12.
Yeah, the first thing I thought about with this move and NBC and Peacock was, okay, they're trying to get as close to Notre Dame as possible because they know the revenue that they could bring in if they brought Notre Dame to the Big
sure.
Ten. But Notre Dame, they're so damn petty, they're trying to be independent and be the only ones till, you know, till they can't no more, which I don't know when that will be, but they seem real petty about being independent.
Well, I mean, I guess my only question for Notre Dame, and maybe somebody has this answer, and once everything gets locked in and however this thing falls, I think it's going, as I said, I think Big Ten will go to 20. I think they're going to add the four schools on the West Coast. I don't think they'll get Notre Dame, big picture. Then the SEC, do they react at all? They're already adding Texas and Oklahoma. Could there be another move coming? Or it's just Brett Yormark and the Big 12 with their with the move of the additions of Houston. By the way, that's that Houston story is a big one because I mentioned the fourth largest media market is Houston. Six is Dallas-Fort Worth. So the Big 12 is going to try to build brands around the school's playing in Houston, and they need the Cougars to be really good with Dana Holgorsen because that helps in TV negotiations and the overall dollar amount. But, you know, you're adding Cincinnati. You're adding, you know, the Florida market with Central Florida and to the east and then the west team. So now you're to 16, and you're that third conference, and you're in big play. Thing I would say for Notre Dame is when all that finalizes, who do they play? Like if the conference – the teams are all now in a conference, you're the only independent. How do you make a schedule if the big schools in the big conferences are going to say, we're not playing Notre Dame, we've already got to play our conference schedule? When we play outside of conference, we're going to be playing, you know, Louisiana Monroe and teams like this. We're not playing Notre Dame. I just wonder how they fill out a 12-team schedule if they're not in. Now, I know they have half a leg in the ACC. Their other sports play in the Atlantic Coast Conference. So their hockey teams, I think, play in the Big Ten already. Just so they have a place to play for scheduling purposes only. I just don't know. I maybe there's a way with the ACC. I just how do you I mean if you lose the ability to play USC? Because could the Big Ten say no? You're not playing USC now that you're in the Big Ten. You know, Stanford has been a longtime rival. Well, now they're going to be in the Big Ten potentially. Maybe there's a way. Maybe their Notre Dame is just so big that those schools will still play them on the annual, and of course they can play the military academies and. You know, schedule that way. But I know Notre Dame wants to keep their independence. They want to play coast to coast. But the Big Ten can say to them, hey, look, we're going to pay you more money. You can stay independent. And by the way, with the NBC edition, you can still keep that money. You yourselves independently can keep the NBC money for your home games. But we want to be able to televise your road games under our package, right? Come under our package. Play within the Big Ten. It'll help you with scheduling, and you keep your independence and your NBC deal with Peacock. They'll carry all of your home games from South Bend, touchdown, Jesus, the whole thing. I wonder if there's an agreement that can be worked out there because, obviously, it's very lucrative, and it's a big one, and it's really a huge – it's the biggest shoe that could still drop at that one. The other story that's out there that falls in line with this is the Pete Thamel story, ESPN. That the College Football Playoff Board of Directors, so this is the group of 11 college presidents and chancellors who are essentially in charge of the college football playoff. We know the playoff committee is made up of 13 members of coaches and former administrators and all that. But there is an 11-person college presidents group that are called the College Football Playoff Board, and they oversee. And they had a Zoom call on Monday to discuss something we've discussed quite a bit, but it's the breaking off of football from the NCAA and governing themselves, taking the rulemaking and the authority away from the NCAA in football only at the high level, letting the NCAA still run football at the secondary and third and all the way down. You know, the 1,000 teams playing college football out there that are under the NCAA umbrella, 1,000 schools. This would take the top 64, top 100 out and put them under one group. And as Pete Thamel wrote it, that they actually discussed that. Would they be the entity, the governing body that would take control? And the conversation is significant because it's the first known discussion among this group that would seemingly, because this is a group that actually has the power to put this into play. Like if the commissioner of the Pac-12 says it, George Kliavkoff or Brett Yormark says it, saying it like, well, this makes sense. Why don't we think about this? The fact that the people who can actually put that plan in action and actually do it are talking about it. That's significant. So that's happening. This, you know, Bijan Robinson is getting new Dijon Mustard deals. I mean, the changing face of college football is and college athletics. We know it's big business college athletics. We understand that. It long has been, and now it's more and more. But these are three really, really big stories, or two really, really big stories on where it will be, where it is now, and where it might be 5 years from now and 10 years from now. It is more and more likely that the CFP Board of Managers, the 11 chancellors and the schools take control. Take control of football. And we'll see. The other part of that I want to mention on the Big 12, Zay, Brett Yormark now that this Big 10 deal is announced and done, he can go to work on the Big 12. And the fact that you just showed the example of multiple suitors, don't be surprised if Brett Yormark, who's very aggressive with branding and his ability to market, whether he's with NASCAR, the NBA, Jay-Z, he's going to go back to ESPN and say, okay, you're out of the game in the Big 10. Do you want to get involved here? What about, because I was told at Big 12 Media Days, watch for CBS. Well, CBS just jumped a load of money on the Big 10. So you wonder if there's still anything left for the Big 12. The other things to watch for, ESPN and the streaming services. You know, no one has deeper pockets than Apple Plus. Nobody has that kind of money. I mean, Apple Plus, I mean, they could buy these conferences 10 times over if they wanted to, or buy these TV deals. It's Apple. It's Steve Jobs. They are a Goliath. And they are getting into the sports realm. They haven't, you know, they got their streaming service, Apple Plus. They're getting in. Amazon is getting in to sports. And Amazon Prime and their streaming services, or Amazon TV. So they're getting in. So if you're Brett Yormark, you're like, okay, let's get ESPN at the table. And we could divvy our rights up just like they did in the Big Ten. And we can get ESPN involved, maybe a little CBS, maybe a little Fox, but probably not. We'll go stream. And you can stream our games, which is becoming easier and easier and more, you know, popular for people to do. Because remember this with Apple Plus. Apple Plus just announced a huge deal with MLS Soccer, that they're going to stream every MLS Soccer game, including your Austin FC Verde, coming up starting next year. I think it's next year when that deal begins, every single game. They've got a baseball game of the week and with MLB on Friday nights that they air. And obviously, Apple Plus is getting into the NFL. By all accounts, this will be the last year that the DirecTV Sunday package, where you can watch all the games and all the markets and the red zone and all that, that it'll be under the DirecTV umbrella. There's the next report on a big deal is supposed to be Apple Plus taking over ownership of the Sunday ticket starting next year. So obviously, Apple is involved in sports. And this is where, if you're Brett Yormark, that's where you're going. That's where the honey hole is. That's where the sweet spot's going to be. Streaming, ESPN, and whoever else you can get involved in bidding for. And yeah, look, you go to Turner. You know, if you're looking at Turner Sports and what they're doing with, you know, hockey and the NHL, the NBA, of course, on Turner, golf on Turner, you go to Turner, and that's a huge conglomerate. And you say, do you want to get involved in Big 12 football? That's where you drive the price up. That's where the loss of Texas and Oklahoma revenue-wise, when they move to the SEC, can be lessened by adding four more new teams, eight total, and then getting those folks involved. And you know, there's your four conferences, eh?
I swear I remember watching OU versus or Oklahoma State when Texas used to play Oklahoma State on TBS.
Yeah.
At one point in time.
Yeah, they've been involved. I mean, you're trying to get – and again, the reason those entities want sports, and we say this over and over again, it's a broken record, but sports are the only thing we watch live as consumers now. We don't watch our favorite TV shows live. We record them and watch them later. We binge watch things. We don't watch things live very often anymore. We go to our kids' sporting events live, which is why we're all involved with Flex and the growth of high school sports and the passion behind it for fans and parents. And people watch sports live. They make an appointment. I'm going to be there at 11 o'clock in the morning to watch Texas play Alabama, and I'm not changing the channel. I'm watching this whole damn game. That's what advertisers want. That's what the networks want, because then they can sell that advertising, and it still sells. It absolutely sells. And here we go with the Big Ten, potentially $10 billion total package with the Big Ten Conference from three different networks and a streaming service. That's big time. Hey, coming back, we'll do more college football, get you the latest on Steve Sarkisian and his comment about says he's sounds like he's nearing a decision on the quarterback position. And yes, we're going to dive back into the Horn Top 20 countdown. We are at number 7 on our way to number 1, and it is the highest-ranked team from the Big 12 Conference coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wide-ranging show today. A lot of college football. We talk psychedelics. Mushrooms, which was fun. Then we got the horn psychologist, a true professional involved, and talks about his use of psychedelics to really help people, which is great. We've also talked to baseball. Brett Beatty, Lake Travis High's own, just smacked a home run in his first at bat last night. Second pitch he ever saw in the big leagues. Goes yard in front of his whole family. That is so cool. Not only did he get called up, I said this yesterday, this is a big deal. He's getting called up in the middle of a pennant race where the Mets are trying to find some offense and hold off the defending champion Braves. So this kid's not only gone up, he's gone up to be important and try to put some power in that lineup around Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor, and he hits a home run on his second pitch. And he hit it off of the former Astro Jake Odorizzi. Remember, the Astros traded Odorizzi at the deadline to make room for Lance McCullers in their rotation. And he gave up that big fly, two home runs he gave up in that first inning. But the Mets got the win 9-7, so that was really cool. And if you missed that, go over to FlexATX, FLXATX.com. That's our high school football, high school sports brand, and you know that. They were on the air when that happened. And of course, they covered Brett Beatty when he was at Lake Travis, what a stud he was, 12th pick in the draft. So that was pretty cool. You can go relive that with Snoop and the team last night while it happened. Also, we're talking college football, of course. And that brings us to the 7th-ranked team in our Horn Top 20 countdown. They are the defending Big 12 and Sugar Bowl champions.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 7, the Baylor Bears.
That's right, Baylor is at number 7, highest-ranked Big 12 team in our rankings, and certainly a threat to go back and win that thing again. They were 12-2 a year ago. What a turnaround after the rough year one for Dave Aranda. Made all the right moves with his offensive coaching staff and Gary Bohannon, but now a change there too with Blake Shapen in as starting quarterback. The one concern I see for Baylor, and there's over a lot, they've got to replace their leading running back. The top two, actually, because Tristan Ebner is into the NFL as well, along with Abram Smith, Tyquan Thornton on the outside, a wide receiver, and then the production on defense of Terrell Bernard and Jalen Petrie. I mean, that's, you don't just snap your fingers and you find that. Those dudes were impact players. But, as we say, lines of scrimmage are tremendous. Best offensive and defensive line in the Big 12, so the best combination there. And but the concern I have is schedule. The schedule. What was a favorable year last year where they had Oklahoma in Waco, Texas had to go to Waco, Iowa State came to Waco. This year, they go to Lubbock. They go to West Virginia. They go to Oklahoma. They come to Austin the last game of the year. And to talk some more Baylor football, let's go to the Vaqueros. Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Whenever we talk Baylor football, we love to talk to Craig Smoke, Sikkim 360 up there, covering the Bears like no one else. Smoke, how are you, bud?
Hey, guys, I'm doing pretty well, and just glad to be talking some football and having it right around the corner. Kind of nice, so good to be with you.
Sikkim 365, of course, the team reporter, and doing a great job there and doing the podcast and the host. Hey, so, Smoke, can I just say one thing to you folks in Waco first? Last Saturday was a big one. We took our daughter up to college at North Texas, took her back, got her into her apartment. The construction, I will report happily, is done. Right there near the stadium in downtown Waco, completely smooth sailing on a Saturday, right on up there. So props to Waco or the road service getting that done. It is an easy trip now through Waco, Texas.
Oh yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it's long overdue. It's something that's, if you've driven through that area of 35, I don't know that it's really ever been all that great, but yeah, we've finally seen that get widened, and when folks come down to McLean Stadium. The next time for a game, they should have smooth sailing, like you said. They expanded it, I think, 4 lanes, and they've had this constant just mess of construction all around campus and by McLean Stadium. But, yeah, it's a lot better now, and glad to hear that you had an easy time getting through Waco, because it has been quite the quite the pit stop for a lot of people over these last few months.
Yeah, the Waze app would take you around on that roundabout way to get around it, but yeah, yeah. It was a mess. I'll say this too for I-35. Like once you get through Round Rock, where there's some construction there, as it's always growing in Round Rock, there's not any construction all the way. We were going to Fort Worth up to Denton. So the next time I saw construction was north of Fort Worth. Between Fort Worth and Denton is where the next construction. So it's pretty smooth sailing. They've done a nice job. It's taken a while, but it looks like it's finally all completed there from north of from Georgetown all the way into the DFW. Hey, Smoke, the football team, that's what we want to talk about. Baylor's really a good team. I mentioned the schedule is a challenge. What are the big discussion points you guys are having for this Baylor team that are of concern in 2022?
Well, I think you mentioned one of them right off the top, and that was the schedule. I mean, the schedule definitely ramps up in a major way, and I don't think it's any coincidence that one of the first times we heard Dave Aranda speak this, I guess, ramp up in the preseason, he made, you know, some very specific talking points about, you know, weathering the storm on the road and being on the road and handling those types of games. And so it was definitely a focal point right from the jump in Aranda's message to the media and thus to the team. And, I mean, you said it. I mean, week number two, they're going to get the big test going to Provo to play BYU. 1 month into the season, they're in Ames, Iowa, first Big 12 game of the year. So, I mean, you expect them to beat Albany, but then you go to Provo. That'll tell you a lot right out of the gates. Very well could be 2-0 or 1-1. You play Texas State, which you feel good about that, but still you'll be 2-1, 3-0 going into Ames, Iowa. So, I mean, that first month of the season, 2-2, 4-0, depending on how you look at things and depending on how things swing. And then, you know, 2 weeks after Ames, you've got the game in West Virginia on a Thursday night, no less, and we know that the Mountaineers fans are feeling a lot better. 2 weeks after that, you've got Joey McGuire out in Lubbock, and, you know, they're going to want to make a statement there. I mean, and then you finally get a little bit of a break on the road where you're, then you go to Norman to play Oklahoma, who, you know, we have no idea how they're going to look under Brent Venables. And then, yeah, 2 weeks after that, it's in Austin. And so it's just it's going to be a constant grind for them playing good teams on the road in, you know, big pressure situations most likely. Obviously, the more they win, the more that pressure will ramp up. But, yeah, either way, there's not really much of a letdown on the schedule. So that'd be number one. I think number two, you mentioned the strength of the lines. But outside of the strength of that, I think if you swing over to the biggest weaknesses, quarterback, I don't think is a weakness with Blake Shapen now the starter. I think it is an improvement over Gary Bohannon, but there's still plenty of reasons to wonder. I mean, when people talk about Blake Shapen and what they saw last year, they're really talking about 2.5 games.
Right.
When you really break it down, because Gary was the starter for most of the year. Then he got hurt against Kansas State in the first half, and that's when Shapen took over. So he played basically the second half against Kansas State. He played the following week a full game against Texas Tech that they eked out towards the end in Waco that allowed them to go to the Big 12 title game, which he started and played in, but also got hurt in. And then we didn't see him after that. So he played basically 2.5 games as a starting quarterback. So there is concern about his durability just because we haven't seen him stand up a whole year or have to even do that. And when we have seen him for, you know, a 2-3 game stretch, he had to miss the Sugar Bowl because of injury. So I'd say that schedule, I'd say just the question marks around Blake Shapen and can he be the guy for a week in, week out entire schedule. And then the skill spots, I think, on both sides of the ball are not empty cabinets by any means, but they are, you know, rooms with a lack of experience compared to what they've had. I mean, the back four in the secondary, they're going to be replacing both safety spots and both corner spots. Now, the good news is that technically, one of the corner spots, you know, would be manned by somebody who's played a lot, and same thing for one of the safety spots. But they are going to be missing basically a whole room that's gone to the NFL. And then on the offensive side, they're going to be, you know, going into this season with a lack of proven skill guys at wide receiver and at running back. They're going to have to fill some big holes there thanks to Smith and Ebner and also Tyquan Thornton. So a long answer, but for a team that has a lot of answers, there are also some major question marks. Skill on both sides, schedule, and, you know, your quarterback's durability. So they are not a perfect team by any means.
It's funny. It's the opposite of what's down here, Smoke. I mean, we said earlier, though, if you could combine the lines of scrimmage at Baylor with the skill at Texas, might be Alabama on par with. I mean, right. It might be that good. Obviously, Texas still has some unproven at quarterback, but Bijan and Xavier Worthy and those kind of players on the skill side. Hey, which unit is better, the offensive or the defensive line? Because they're both really good. Which one is a stronger unit in your mind?
Oh, man, that's a great question. It's a great question for Baylor to have to answer and try to figure out. I feel like you could probably flip a coin and land on either side and be able to come up with a really strong answer. Both lines are commanded by great young assistant coaches. You've got on the offensive side, Eric Mateos, who is, I think, one of the bright rising stars in the game, came over from BYU with Jeff Grimes. And then you've got Coach Johnson over on the defensive line, who's done a tremendous job. Dennis Johnson, a guy that Aranda brought over with him as well from LSU. And they're both rising stars that I think we're going to continue to hear a lot about. But I'll go with the defensive line. I mean, the offensive line returns four or five starters. I do think they have a very strong two deep. And while they may not have the full array right out of the gate, so they might be missing one offensive lineman depth piece, going in, they're going to be strong two deep wise. So you feel great about them. But I think that defensive line is really where my main focus is because of the fact that they could go three deep on the D-line with a three-man front and really not skip too much of a beat. The entire two deep and a little bit beyond all returns to the lineup this year. Siaki Ika, the big man in the middle at the nose tackle spot, a true nose tackle. He was the addition last year from LSU that I think if you look at their run to the Big 12 championship and the Sugar Bowl, he's certainly not solely responsible for because there were other great defensive players, but he was kind of that missing piece that locked it all together and clogged up that middle and was that big presence on the line that just eat up blocks and eat up guys that really allowed the Bernards and the Petries to fly around. So you've got him and everybody else on the 2D, plus they add Jackson Player, a Waco native, played at Midway High School. They add him. He can play nose. He can play the end spots as well. So not only can they go two deep and beyond on the defensive line, but they can go two, three deep and not really skip a beat at nose tackle, which I think says a lot because that's not a position that just everybody can go to on their roster, much less be able to go two and three deep with solid, proven guys. And that's one thing they can do this year. So I'll go D-line by just an edge, but they definitely are blessed to have those starting points going into this year.
And you mentioned Jackson Player. We talked about Oklahoma State earlier in our countdown, and we had Sam Mays on, the former Oklahoma State offensive lineman, and he talked about Jackson Player, having seen him there at Tulsa. That's where he does the radio show. Jackson Player is a player. I mean, he's a really good player who was under-recruited coming out but has grown and from a three-star player to a really top-talented player the NFL is looking at. And that is the hardest position to find in college football, is big point-of-attack defensive lineman, that's for sure. Real quick, how about Connor Galvin in the O-line? How good is Connor Galvin at left tackle?
He's going to be a good one. They had tremendous draft success this past year, had six guys go in the draft, which was a new record for the program. And I don't know that they'll have that amount this year because that was obviously a special group, but they will have some guys. And Connor Galvin will be one of those at the front of the line that is, someone you talk about and you think about when it comes to who could be the top pick, who could be a potential first rounder. That's not the main talking points with Connor. The main talking points are about this season, but that's kind of some of that exterior buzz is, he could be one of the next guys that is, the big, move to the NFL type of player. But for now, I mean, he's been a tried and true starter. He's been in action basically since he arrived on campus years ago, and he was a huge get at the time for the old staff. But, again, Eric Mateos, just one of the best young offensive line coaches in the country. He's come in, he's helped polish the game of a lot of these guys and build up that depth. And, this was an offensive line that, this took 3-4 years. Matt Rhule was constantly in the process of trying to build up the depth. When he first arrived on campus after taking the job, they had legitimately six scholarship offensive linemen throughout that very first spring with Matt Rhule. And one of the things that he said at the time was, hey, we're going to, build this thing, and that goes for everywhere, but, eventually this offensive line is going to get off the ground. Well, they went out and recruited really well. Aranda and staff came in, and they did the same thing. And through the course of action, they now, have double digits as far as depth, closer to 20 than to the six they had, just 4 or 5 years ago. And so they've got a great group of depth players. They've got a great group of starting players. And Connor Galvin's the lead guy in that regard. I mean, he is the veteran. He is that left tackle that everything kind of revolves around, so to speak. And he's joined by three fellow starters from last year. So he's one of the first guys they trotted out. He's definitely going to be, I think, more of a vocal type of a upfront leader for them, and deservedly so given his experience. But he's somebody that a lot of guys listen to and respect, and I think he's going to be somebody that you hear a lot about this year, because he's definitely, like I said, kind of that guy up front for this Baylor football team. So one of the handful of veterans that they have coming back that, despite what they lost, you see him kind of stepping in to fill that void, and it's good to see that happen so quickly as he seems happy to be carrying that torch. So I'm very excited to see him. I know he's very excited about what they've got coming back, and that's why he himself decided to come back for another year. So huge return for this team, and I think it'll do wonders, but we will see once they actually go out there and roll out the football against some competition.
Always great, Smoke. Let you roll. I think our fans and our audience for sure has a better view of what Baylor is, strengths and weaknesses, and a tough schedule. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll check in again soon, and Baylor at number 7, our pick to win the Big 12, or at least be in that championship game once again. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Craig Smoke, there you go. That's about as good an overview as you can get. The goods, the bads, and yeah, Connor Galvin is one the NFL will be watching too. He's started 37 starts at Baylor, 45 career games, 6'7", 302, and just a tremendous left tackle, part of that offensive and defensive line group. But there's Baylor, number 7 on our countdown. We'll be at number 6, obviously, tomorrow. And the guys will have thoughts on Baylor throughout the course of the day. Light the Tower coming up, shirts and skins, Ball Don't Lie this afternoon. I believe Rod Babers is back today after a couple days away. So look forward to that all day long right here on the Horn on a Buck On, Buck Off Thursday coming back.
The Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, big stories this morning. Good stuff today all the way through. Johnny Rogers will come back tomorrow. Bucky will be out till Monday. We'll be at number 6 in our countdown mañana when we roll back in here. As we said, the Big Ten's mega media rights deal announced officially, $7-8 billion in total, which is, I mean, it is, in college football, we've kind of known this is coming. We've heard about it since really the entire offseason and then Big 12 media days. But I saw where our Bucky's friend and our good buddy Andrew Brandt, who's kind of the business of sports guy at Sports Illustrated and used to be a salary cap GM with the Green Bay Packers. He had a tweet that says, just a stunning announcement in college sports. Big Ten is just one conference and getting almost $8 billion in TV rights. Big Ten schools now receive media revenue similar to many professional sports leagues, which is true. That's just new for, especially a guy on the East Coast. You know, college sports is going that direction. And I give Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, props for being bold, opening up the negotiation to multiple suitors and going more like the NFL. And you get Fox in a big number, you get NBC and CBS. That's the way to do it. And we'll see if the Big 12 follows suit. So that story is out there. There's also the report out of Carolina that Baker Mayfield will be announced as the Week 1 starter and beating out Sam Darnold. Not a surprise, but a report that is interesting to watch. Also of note, we mentioned the Brett Beatty home run. Somebody texted us who's a numerologist, apparently, and he says, did you notice on the Beatty home run, E, that the deuces were wild? I love the number 2, he said. But he said, 2-run homer, top of the second, Mets up 2-0. He's 22 years old, and it's 2022. Might be a stretch, but I love the number 2. There you go. You into the numbers game, Zay?
Not like homeboy, but...
Homeboy's all in.
Jeez.
Homeboy all in. All in. But so that's there. And we're trying to figure out what Steve Sarkisian is up to. You know, Texas took the day off yesterday. They had the leadership expert, John Gordon, with all the books in there speaking to the team. As you know, Sark has made it a point all offseason to talk about the culture, team building, leadership, accountability, all the things he felt like they did a poor job of, and he did a poor job of last year. So John Gordon was in the house doing his deal. And by the way, I saw where he makes between 50 and 100 grand per visit, Zay.
Just for showing up?
Well, you got to talk. Can't just show up. You got to deliver. But I think I saw where John Gordon had been at Clemson this offseason. He'd been over to Oklahoma. I mean, he's doing the rounds, right? He's John Gordon. He's written all the books. Leadership. He's like Colonel Craig Flowers. I don't know if Colonel gets $100,000, but I'd rather hear him talk than John. Nothing against John Gordon. I think he's great. Tremendous. I read several of his books. But, you know, Craig Flowers can go leadership and building character and culture as good as anybody. That's why we love him on the High Ground every Saturday morning. We also love that Johnny Rogers was here. JR will be back tomorrow with more insights, good conversations. They will be back, as you will as well. Buck on to Johnny for jumping in with us. And enjoy the rest of your Thursday. It's going to be a busy one here with all this news that is dropping. Light the Tower coming next with the crew. Shirts and skins through the midday. I believe Rod Babers is back with Harge today on Ball Don't Lie after a couple days out, so enjoy that. We'll be talking about all of it tomorrow morning. Zay, have a good one.
You too, Eat.
You too. Everything goes up on podcast. You know that as well. So if you missed Craig Smoke breaking down Baylor, any of our fun conversations this morning, make sure you go check it out. HornFM.com. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you on a Friday morning.